This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Yeah, welcome in, pro wrestling fans, here on a Saturday. It is time for the Best Up Busted Open Podcast edition here on Fight Nation 156 Sirius XM. I'm your weekend host, Ryan McKinnell. That is the world's strongest man, Mark Henry. And Mark, we got a stacked best of edition for the listeners out here today. And we are going to start with last night in what was one hell of a show on Friday Night SmackDown, due in large part to the great work of Braun Strowman, Alexa Bliss, and The Fiend. What an ending to SmackDown last night.
Man, listen, I legit popped. And you have got to listen to this because we go into detail about how it made you feel, not just what you saw.
Great psychology, great emotion, as the world's strongest man, Mark Henry, just alluded to. And also, Mark, speaking of a really good episode of SmackDown last night, The Fiend, Bliss, and Strowman wasn't the only takeaway. We have an opponent for Bayley at SummerSlam, and that was due to the cross-brand promotional battle royal that we saw last night, which really highlighted and piqued my interest again, Mark, in showcasing just how damn good the women's roster is in this company, that has ever been assembled.
Yeah, man, I don't know if we're going to get there again in the next couple of weeks, because that is exactly what the world of wrestling needs. And man, it's you've got to tune into the podcast version to hear this.
And speaking of, good things ahead and not topping things for the next couple weeks, well, we got the weekly winner here on the Saturday show, and it is also on this Best Of edition here on the podcast version of Busted Open, Mark. It's another weekly winner, and it was another very difficult choice between these four or five shows, because I don't think there was necessarily an A-plus show. There were A-plus segments, but there were a lot of just good, solid pro wrestling love to be spread around, so we're going to have fun breaking that down in Weekly Winner.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I think you got a balance of a lot of good wrestling, like you said, for the week. But I have my definitive one that I would give an A to, and you'll hear about it on the podcast.
Yeah, and it didn't even take you that long to get to your decision. This might be Mark Henry's shortest pick for weekly winner ever, but to hear it, well, you got to actually sit back, click play, get it going right now. Bust it open on a Saturday. Let's do it. Alexa Bliss, Bray Wyatt / The Fiend, and Braun Strowman. We talked a little bit about Braun Strowman, you know, seemingly being disinterested, Mark, looking off camera. Alexa wanted answers last night. She wanted to know, hey, Braun, why did you tell The Fiend that you didn't care about me? You didn't give a shit about me. You didn't care about my well-being or what The Fiend did to me. And Braun Strowman doubled down, Mark. Last night on SmackDown, he's like, yeah, I don't. I don't care about you. And he was looking off camera, very disinterested. Alexa fired up some serious slaps, smacked the hell out of Braun Strowman, trying to, quote, man, unquote, wake him up. We didn't get any of that. Braun very much kind of staying in the lost place, if you will, in the sunken place, to borrow a phrase from Hollywood there, right? Shout out to Jordan Peele. But yeah, very much stuck in this trance from The Fiend, and he made reference to it, Mark. You know, I met The Fiend. The Fiend changes people. Okay, I can't do the Braun Strowman voice, but I will throw that to you. Is Braun Strowman actually changed, Mark? Or is Braun Strowman protecting Alexa? Because, and this is where this story gets great, there's years of storylines behind these two. The Fiend knows that Braun Strowman cares about Alexa Bliss. Alexa Bliss saying last night that, hey, she could almost potentially at one point or maybe in the future have seen a romantic relationship with Braun. They clearly care about each other, right? So, again, is this Braun Strowman having a change of heart? Is this Braun Strowman going to a dark place? Or is this Braun Strowman just trying to protect Alexa Bliss and not let The Fiend know how much he actually cares about her?
You know what, man? That's it's left up to interpretation. I think that he's trying to protect himself. I think he's trying to protect his heart. I think he's trying to throw smoke and mirrors at The Fiend to alleviate the stress of worrying about her. And maybe The Fiend will leave her alone, even. So I think that's just my opinion of where it is. But also, another layer to this whole deal is Alexa playing the Fiend because she's trying to protect Bron? So you got to look at it from both sides. You can't just look at it from the side of Bron doing the protecting. I think that she wants him to beat the Fiend, and where she can join him. And imagine now you're victorious and you have that interaction between the two. We might get another Randy and Otis situation where, you know, Bron gets that kiss on TV and maybe even there's more drama. And he says, look, I look at you like a sister, not like a lover. Like, women ain't ready to hear that. There's no woman. There's no woman that's ready for that. That's a punch in the gut right there. Wrestling is great.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
I've talked about it before, Mark. You know, we're going to get into the ladies in the Battle Royal and talk about Asuka. But just one thing about Bianca Belair, she is able to do, not only a lot, but she's able to do things on that roster that not everyone can do. It was another, I know she didn't walk away with the win last night on SmackDown, Mark, but it was another great highlight for Bianca Belair, another great kind of tip of the cap. She had it at Royal Rumble. And again, it was a great tip of the cap to all the ladies. I would have liked to have seen the Battle Royal maybe just go 5, 7, 8 minutes, just a little bit longer. It was great. I love seeing the talent in there, and I love seeing Bianca and everyone get highlighted. It was an awesome, awesome, awesome portion of SmackDown last night.
Man, SmackDown, for all the months that SmackDown was not even a factor, this last month, they've had three really good shows.
They have. They have.
Three out of four ain't bad.
Nah, and it played really well last night. You talk about the drink factor, right? Like you bathroom breaks, like wanting to stay locked in. I can't point to any particular moment last night, Mark, but it was a really solid show from a continuity standpoint. Like you felt invested throughout pretty much the portion or through the majority of the show. Myself personally, you know, leading with Retribution, I was still dealing with that and trying to figure out exactly where that was going to go to lead the show, because they came back from break and essentially Sasha and Bayley were in the ring and they were cutting a promo. So I was led to believe, okay, Retribution, this anarchy faction comes in and then they just leave on their own recognizance. Like so that was it was a little bit of a stutter to start the show, but I think that also speaks volumes to how good everything else was, that by the end of it, I really didn't give a shit that there was that stutter, and everything else was really, really strong, including, as we're talking about right now, the Battle Royal. Bianca got her shine. Plenty of people in that match got their shine, but none larger, Mark, than Asuka. She walks away with the victory, a great elimination as well, a great story told. And now, as we talk about a great story being told, all bets are off, man. We're heading into SummerSlam. We got two title matches, Asuka facing both Bayley and Sasha. What do you think, big man? I mean, there's a lot of places the WWE can go with this story, and I'm definitely invested because it involves one of the winningest and one of the most interesting stories in the ladies division in talking about Asuka, and then two of the staples in that division, two of the greatest of that division in Sasha and Bayley. There's just a lot of legs here.
Yeah, there's a lot to it. And I think that this is kind of where the first inkling of, I thought this was about us, not about you. Mm. Like, don't make this about you. Like, you should go first.
Oh, we're talking about who's going to face Asuka.
Yeah, I want to see who's going to face Asuka first is what's going to be the first straw that breaks the camel's back, that drives a wedge, and then they go, oh, it don't matter, it don't matter. I'll go first. And, you know, and whoever that person might be. But that's the first issue. Like, now start the issues of what draws the line in between them. And somebody's going to lose. And, I mean, not necessarily, but it's not written in stone, written in blood, or etched in stone. But somebody, I feel like, should lose. And that be the start. Like, well, I mean, you weren't there for me. I wasn't there because I came out in your match and they kicked me out. Mm-hmm. You know, like, there's got to be, you create the issue. So I'm excited, man. This is, pro wrestling is so damn good right now. I mean, like, I haven't been watching anything but wrestling.
Yeah.
I had homework to watch The Boys. I started watching The Boys and fell asleep.
Well, at least you started.
I fell asleep.
It's a little bit of a tease for the Mimosa Minute coming up in hour two, but at least Mark actually did. You tried. You made the best attempt.
Yeah. I tried. And I'm just like, okay, I got wrestling to watch. I got two shows of wrestling. And then Thursday came. And then Thursday I was like, I'm too much. And if I don't get it done Monday or Tuesday on the days that I don't have the most, pretty much.
That's
not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
That's funny. All right. So, okay, we're not going to talk. We might talk about The Boys a little bit later in the show as we throw you into our Mimosa Minute to end the show. But as we talk about the ladies and we talk about this battle royal, what do you think the likelihood is that Asuka walks out of SummerSlam with no titles, Mark? Because
impossible.
Impossible.
Yeah, that's not a good look. Yeah. That's not a good look at all.
That would
because
hurt.
Because if somebody loses, it'll hurt Asuka for her not winning one. And then the money is on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday the next week. The dissension between the two and them trying to act like there's no dissension.
Yeah.
Like, no, we're going to get your title back. We're going to get you. You're going to get your title back. And it is like this.
Could you see them both losing?
Ooh.
Could you see both titles going to Asuka?
Wow, I never even factored that in, man. It wasn't even in my thought processes. That's how far fetched that seemed, what you just said.
Yeah.
That seems like.
Well, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen often, right?
No. But we do have a guest on that got struck by lightning. I was just about to say, that's like lightning striking. So.
That's a good point.
I guess it can happen.
It can happen. That's a good tease for coming up a little bit later in the show. In hour two, Mark, Roman Reigns. A man who has a wild story, former Green Beret, that's right, has also been struck by lightning and at 35 years old is taking a dive into amateur wrestling. Yeah, and it's not just taking a dive into amateur wrestling. Yeah, he's going to be doing that at Arizona State. So that's a little tease for later in the show. Now, Mark, back to the Battle Royal real quick before we head off to break and continue on with the show. I'm very interested in your thoughts on the women's division as a whole, because last night, Mark, when I was watching the Battle Royal, we kind of went into it, the way everything was being showcased and the talent, it kind of hit me that, and we talked about this, I think last week, I could never really imagine a time where I would be as invested in a woman's storyline. Like, I go back to like 15-year-old Ryan in 1998, you know, the Nation of Domination 97 is doing their thing and the Attitude Era is coming on and the NWO is over in WCW. If you would have told me that I would have been as invested in a woman's storyline as a men's storyline, I would have told you were crazy. Now, that has obviously changed so much over the last few years, really starting with the women that we're talking about, with Bayley and Sasha and Charlotte and Asuka to an extent, right? It kind of hit me that, Mark, the best storylines of the last like 4 years have all been women.
Women.
Like, they have been carrying some of the biggest narratives in this company. Let's look at the star power. First with Charlotte, really, and what she did years ago, kind of like coming on the scene and piggybacking and melding kind of the legacy of her father's and making her own path, right? And then obviously, you know, Becky Lynch and what she did as the man. Then Ronda Rousey comes in and does what she does. And now Sasha and Bayley are running roughshod and doing some of the best TV in the company. Mark, it is just a crazy time for the women. Like, they are the MVPs of the decade. Like, that is wild to me.
And look at the what happened in Saudi. You know, you have Natalya and Lacey Evans, like, be a first in the world of not just pro wrestling, but entertainment. To go over and have a really big match on television in Saudi Arabia, women doing a physical activity, you know, especially in the fighting arts. So, man, this world is made leaps and bounds in the development and understanding of the plight of the athlete for women's athletics. But and for the pro wrestling, nobody is close.
Yeah.
Nobody's close. I think that, you know, I mean, we got Randy Orton and Ric Flair, you know, that happened on Monday. And then you got Keith Lee and our guy, shit.
I
got hit in the
Karrion
head.
Cross. Killer Cross.
Yeah, Karrion Kross, like, I've been hitting the head a lot, man. Just disregard that last 30 seconds. But there's so much going on. You know what, man? And I know this is, I'm jumping all over the place. This is, Cameron Grimes is jumping off the screen on NXT.
Yeah.
He has been for a long time. I think it's time to give more lightning, if you will, to Cameron Grimes.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156, or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
The landscape of pro wrestling is evolving, which means more options for fans.
So many activities!
Mark Henry and Ryan McKinnell are here to answer the difficult questions. What was the best show this week?
You ain't first, you're last.
The week's over, so get over. This is the Busted Open Weekly Winner.
Yeah, you hear the music. Hour two rolling along. You know what the deal is. It is time. It is time. It's Rita time. Okay, no, that's not exactly true. It is time for Weekly Winner, though, Mark. We were kind of talking. I can't do it's time, it's time, and not follow up with Vader. I'm a Mark. At the end of the day, it is in my blood. But Mark, not a Mark. You're actually the Mark. The Mark Henry. World's strongest man. Co-host of Busted Open Radio. It is hour two. It is Weekly Winner time. I'm going to let you go first, man. I'm very curious because, again, I don't even know if I have an idea of where I'm going. You might be able to sway my mind. So I'm very curious as to who your weekly winner is and what was another really solid week in pro wrestling.
You know what, man? We got to start with Monday. And you can't go past Randy Orton and Ric Flair's promos and what they added to pro wrestling and added to the show. Randy Orton at one point made me so angry that I forgot that I was watching television. I'm thinking this is a documentary. I'm thinking, like, I'm going to call him and cuss his ass out. Like, you don't bring up certain painful memories about someone to someone the way that was done. I'm sitting there going, damn, what did Ric Flair do to deserve this? And then Rick's rebuttal was like an expert lawyer. He's like, you're right. I'm 71. I'm not the guy that I used to be. I'm not that guy anymore. I'm happy to be here. I almost died. You he made light of the dude being in a coma.
It's not even that, Mark. Yeah, you're right. He did kind of make light of it, but I just loved that the premise of that promo was like, the Ric Flair I know wouldn't die. The Ric Flair I would know is going to live forever. Yeah, it's going to live forever. I was like, really? But no, point being, it was steeped in reality, very much so.
Right. And
yeah,
it was really, really cool for him to say, you know what, man? Like, what's wrong with me living vicariously through you?
Yeah, wouldn't
what's
you
wrong
want
with
to?
That?
Yeah, I'm 71. Yeah.
I really, really enjoyed the fact that he said, I get to be Charlotte Flair's dad. I get to be out here and be revered and have people look at me with respect. And what's wrong with that, Randy? What's wrong with that? He pointed out that he knew his grandfather. They knew his father. And I thought it was really painful, really, really painful, beyond wrestling painful, for him to say, I'm the son you never had. Like, he loves David and he loves Reed, and his spirit is gone. His body is gone, but his spirit is still here. And I couldn't help but be remorseful for Rick in that moment because Reed is gone. And like a tear, you know, kind of fell to my eye. And I sent the text to Rick and said, hey, man, really respect you. I hate that, you know, Reed is gone. I think about that every time I see you. And I know that you had a lot of pain. But know that what was said on TV is just TV. And his response was, Mark, I'm there. Mark, I'm there. He understood. So that alone, just one promo. Don't have to talk about Drew McIntyre being the champion. Don't have to talk about what happened with the Underground. Don't have to talk about all of the cool shit that happened as it related to the ladies and the story that was furthered with Sasha and Bayley. Like, you don't have to talk about none of it. This is the shortest weekly winner segment that I'm ever going to do. Because I don't have to go through the rest of the week. Because if you're not first, you're last. And that show was first for so many other reasons. But for the number one reason is it linked the world champion and the biggest antagonist in pro wrestling, Randy Orton, together in an emotional way that made me go, I want to kick Randy's ass. Like, you know, he overstepped the line. And then I said, oh, you got me. It's brilliant masterwork. And, you know, there was nothing else in the week that can pale in comparison to Monday Night Raw. So Monday Night Raw bounced back in the last 3 weeks. They've kind of been average, above average.
Yeah, actually, Mark, I think 2 weeks ago, I don't know, we need to keep list of this. We need to get Guns and the Boys on this to keep an actual running list, and would we? But I think within the last month, we've had one Monday Night Raw winner, but you're not wrong. This took it up an entirely
SmackDown was in there two times.
Yep, and that's crazy that we're talking about Raw and SmackDown winning League Weekly Winner, because Mark, for months it felt like it's been a Wednesday night back and forth between AEW and NXT, but when you talk about Randy Orton and Ric Flair being the best moment of the week, and when it comes last on a show, there is no question. There was Randy and Rick, and then there was everybody else.
Everything else.
Bottom line, like, I don't disagree with you one iota.
SmackDown was great. The finish last night with the with Braun Strowman and the Fiend, like I was entertained. I popped. Oh, yeah. Oh, this is great. Same thing when Chris Jericho and Orange Cassidy, and to be able to see the tag appreciation night, like all of the stuff that happened this week, but nothing was close to Raw. Raw was an A+ to me, and everything else was a B+. Full point away, a full letter away. Like, it was, man, it's pretty damn good.
Let me ask you this before I give you my weekly winner. Real quick, I want to jump back to Ric Flair. Would you have liked for Orton, WWE, everybody, the powers that be, to not make that line about I'm the son you never had? Would you like to have seen them leave that out? Because Mark.
Yes.
Okay.
But almost Mark, I started crying.
But Mark, that's the point. You know, that's the point, right? Like that's the moment where my ears perked up and I was like, oh shit. Like, go ahead.
Are they paying for that? I mean, it's like, is that why Rick is on the payroll to be able to use his legacy? Which, I guess so.
Yeah. I mean, but, you ain't using him to wrestle. He ain't going out there and having an inferno match with Kane.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Right. So I guess that's just what it is. But I'm just saying, like when Randy said that, man, the emotion of Reed passing away, and don't put yourself in the spot that I'm the son that's better than the sons you had. Fuck, man. That's so heavy. That's so heavy. And he said, oh, are you going to cry? That's all you do is cry.
Again, and realism. Realistic, you know that.
And then it's like the commercial of the people dirtying up the forest and the waters are dirty and the American Indian guy, the tear fell down. Same thing. I was sitting there so pissed that at some point, a reality check came in. Hey, big guy, you watching wrestling? And I went, oh, man, I was ready to go to the airport and go to St. Louis.
Hey, apologize to your pastor friend for dropping the F-bomb.
I'm sorry. Sorry, pastor. Man, I get emotional on here, brother. I get emotional. I am. I told you I'm more like David than I am anybody else in the Bible. I'm cut out to stand outside the church and fight everybody that's trying to overtake the church.
I like it. There you go.
You need soldiers.
That's what I was just going to say. Soldier of God. I like that. All right. So Mark Henry giving his weekly winner to Monday Night Raw and what was a very quick Monday Night Raw, a very quick weekly winner segment from Mark. Listen, I said it, you know, you're not going to get any argument from me. Bar none, the best moment of the week, and hell, it might end up, boy, this is all said and done, it might end up being the best moment of the year between Ric Flair and Randy Orton. That was A+ pro wrestling there from start to finish. Now, you talk about the finish. Every single show this week, Mark, ended with a freaking bang. Friday Night SmackDown, we've recapped and talked about plenty with The Fiend, Braun Strowman, and Alexa Bliss. That was a solid ending. NXT ending with the return of Velveteen Dream. AEW ending with Orton freaking Cassidy going over on Chris Jericho. And obviously Monday Night Raw ending with Ric Flair and Randy Orton. Those are four awesome endings to four really solid shows. Now, I was going back and forth between AEW and Friday Night SmackDown. I'm just going to be honest with you. That was where I was going, and I was leaning SmackDown with how good everything was, you know, in a 2-hour show. I didn't care about Retribution. It had really no effect on me. I didn't like it. And here's the thing. It's early, it may morph, but I think that's a testament to how good SmackDown was, Mark. When you can have something be an integral part of the show, me not be completely on board with it, right? But still ended up thinking it was a great show. So I loved everything that played out on SmackDown from Sasha and Bayley doing their mic work and the promos between Sonya and Mandy, the Battle Royale, the main event, as we talked about. There was just a lot to like about SmackDown. That was a really good show. Plenty to like about NXT. Karrion Kross and Keith Lee kicking things off with the flaming contract.
With the fireball.
That was great. That, I thought, was awesome. Mia Yim getting tied back into it a little bit later in the show. That was a really well-booked show. Again, solid main event. I loved AEW once again. There were a couple things that didn't sit with me. Like the number one thing, and this is like kind of like on the Retribution tip, where like it was a great show, but there was just things that didn't sit with me, that didn't vibe. And one of the things on, and it was minor, but on AEW, what in the hell was happening with Lance Archer and Jake the Snake? Like, why did Jake the Snake get his shirt ripped off? And why was Everybody Dies written on the back? Like, if that was comedic relief, I guess I'm just saying, Mark, I wasn't ready to see Jake the Snake's front and back. Like, I didn't know like that was happening, and what was happening there, Big Man? Can you fill me in? Can you give me some psychology as to why we witnessed what we witnessed?
I don't know. I threw my hands up.
Yeah, you can't see Mark, but he's
I looked around when that happened. I went, there was nobody there to talk to. I was watching by myself. What's going on? Like, why are we
this?
Doing?
Well, yeah, why are we doing this?
Why?
What is happening here?
What is going on? And I'm not being overly critical. I'm just poking fun. Yeah. But it was not isn't unnecessary. Yeah. I thought that having Arn and Tully out there and the Rock and Roll Express, just to see those guys and pay homage and respect to him was cool. I didn't really agree with how the story and the segment went, but yeah, Nonetheless, they did what they did, and I was fine with it. But I think that there was meat still left on the bone to how to do that in a different way. But, that's it is what it is. Yeah. I really look forward to seeing Chris Jericho and Orange Cassidy again, with this time Chris Jericho not playing. Like, Orange Cassidy got by because Chris was taking him lightly and he was trivializing this guy's work. And Cassidy snuck up. It was one of those, I snuck up and bite you and got you.
Yeah.
That won't happen again. Like, Chris is going to be serious, and he's going to beat the living hell out of him. And whether it's with a chair or he throws him from the ring to the floor, it's going to be something. I took you lightly. I won't take you lightly again. Mm-hmm. And he's going to mop him. He's going to mollywop him, as they say.
Yeah.
And but it was nonetheless, it's been really good watching Chris elevate people. Same thing with Cody. They're both elevating people, but in the rest of that show, I kind of got caught up like, okay. Same thing with NXT. Outside of Karrion Kross and watching my favorite right now, Keith Lee and Kross, I have to say Cameron Grimes is got my attention. I mean, the thick boy has got my attention. I love Bronson
and
Reed.
Hey, Bronson Reed had a hell of a match on NXT. Had a
hell of a match.
Yeah.
And I don't want to discredit the show, but I'm saying that Raw was so much. It was like your favorite cola. And then somebody goes, hey, you want a scoop of ice cream with that? I don't know why food, everything that I equate great, I compare it to food.
Home is where the heart is, Mark Henry.
It's in my heart, guys. Food is in my heart. And that's how I felt. It was like, man, I got to have my ice cream and my favorite drink with it. And that's what Raw was with Randy and Rick and Drew McIntyre. It made me want to see that match at the pay-per-view And I don't think that it'll be close, because right now you look at everything that Randy has done. You look at everything that Drew has done. It's been the most entertaining thing. Now you put both of those things together. Whew. Let's get to it. Let's go. Can we fast forward time? Can we get the Infinity like Gauntlet?
To like 2021, 2022? Yeah, I'm with that. Yeah, can we do that?
Yeah. Let's go forward.
I'm totally okay with that. Like, I am 100% on board with that. Okay, so, Mark, we kind of covered everything, right? So we went across the entire gamut. I was really going between AEW and Friday Night SmackDown.
Oh, I can't wait for this.
Especially after SmackDown, the way SmackDown ended last night, and I felt like it was just a really solid show overall. I was thinking more about the ends, right? Really good show with SmackDown. I thought AEW had a really good show. Scorpio Sky, Cody Rhodes, the MJF promo I'm really enjoying. I thought AEW had the best show. And I know this is Weekly Winner, and that's what this is about, the best show that was in the world that was professional wrestling, for the week that was in professional wrestling. But I'm actually going to go away from AEW. I thought, again, they had the better overall show for 2 hours running from front to back, but I can't neglect, number one, Raw, 3 hours. That I always say that's a more of a difficult kind of hill to climb. But when you have the moments that Raw had, I don't think it was necessarily the better wrestling show. In fact, I think there were things on Raw that were like legitimately terrible, like things that just drove me nuts. Like the 24,
like what? 20, like what?
The 24/7. I hate Akira Tozawa and the ninjas. I think it's a trope. I think it's dumb as shit. I hate that it's, and I know we're doing like kind of a comedy gimmick with the 24/7 title. There's a better way to do that. And there's certainly a better way to do that with Akira Tozawa. I didn't care about Peyton Royce and Liv Morgan. I didn't care about the backstage stuff with Natalya and Lana. I didn't particularly care about Shelton and Apollo. I thought Bianca and Zelina was good enough, but it's not even about that. What I did not just like, what I absolutely freaking loved, Mark, were three things from Raw. Obviously, the end. That was one of the best ends to a show that you're ever going to get, period, in pro wrestling. That's as good as it gets. That's A plus shit, right? How about the start? How about that first hour of Seth Rollins absolutely beating the ever-loving shit out of Dominic Mysterio, right? So you've got that. And then, you've got Asuka and Bayley to determine, you know, the SummerSlam matchup. You had Asuka and Bayley, the huge end and the huge beginning with Dominic and Seth Rollins. Those are two great moments with Dominic and Seth and Buddy Murphy, right? Murphy. And then you have the great moment with Rick and Randy. And then you have the actual match for the tie-in
with Drew McIntyre.
And that as well, right? So you've, like I said, I didn't like Raw Underground. I don't like Retribution. There's a lot that I didn't like on Raw, but those three things were so good, right? Specifically the end, as we talk about, and we talk about that moment with Rick and Randy, that's generational shit, right? That is essentially Jake the Snake putting the snake on, you know, Macho Man in the ropes, right? That's the coconut with Piper on Snuka. I know those are iconic moments that live with a generation, and we're speaking the week of, and it's a little bit hyperbolic because you have to let time go by to really define what type of moment that was. But Mark, it had the readings of that, right? It had, it feels like that's something that if you're 8 years old, that if you're 9 years old, if you're a Randy Orton fan, that's one of those moments, or if you're a Randy Orton hater, that's one of those moments that's going to stick with you for the rest of your life, because it was just so well done. And when you have an iconic moment like that, and it ends a show like that, and it features a guy like Rick bleeping Flair and a guy like the Viper Randy Orton, man, I can't look the other way on that. Weekly Winner has to go to Raw for that reason. So Mark, I was kind of open to being swayed, and the more that I thought about it, and you really do kind of delve into the moment that was Rick and Randy, if you ain't first, you're last. Monday Night Raw, getting it for both of us, the Weekly Winner here in the week that was in pro wrestling. What a week, though, as we went down the gamut of all these shows.
It was entertaining as hell.
It was.
We had a great week of, they spread everything. You know, like normally you get a little break on Tuesday, but, you know, I watched Impact, and I thought Impact was good. I just don't like Boneyard Sneezing. like, it turned me off. It made me angry. And, you know, I went and got something to drink, cooled off, and came back. But Jordan Grace is, she's special. She's special, man.
That's true. We like, didn't even really.
I really like her.
We didn't even get into. I was to say we didn't even really get into Impact. And you're right, Jordan, friend of the show. She was on with us before Slammiversary. She's awesome. The, listen, man. The, again, the whole week that was in pro wrestling, it was beyond solid. And Mark, you know, as we talk about the week that was, and we wrap up here on Weekly Winner, I think it's such a testament to specifically Raw and SmackDown to be mired in two storylines that I do not like, and that is Raw Underground and that is Retribution. Those are two focal points of both of those shows. I do not like them. They don't resonate with me right now. It's just kind of cringeworthy. And again, it's not for everyone. I understand. It's a, you know, it's subjective, right? Art is subjective. I'm saying it's not firing for me. But to have those two things that don't fire, like Retribution and Raw, and the fact that I can look past that and focus on monumental moments that did stick with me, that's the testament of a really good show. When you can have something that that a viewer like is actively against, but you can still come away talking about the positives and the great about a show, and not only the great about the show, but giving a weekly winner to a show like Raw that was a little bit up and down, but was so strong in the moments, man, that's a testament to the quality of a show and a quality to the moments. And it, and again, I don't want to be hyperbolic, but it speaks volumes to just how big that moment was with Randy Orton and Ric Flair, because I don't think that's leaving anyone's mind anytime soon.
No, it's not. And I think that we are better as wrestling fans for it. To, I don't think you should be so critical of Underground or this both of these. You know, I can't remember the name of them again. That's that'll tell you Retribution. Yeah. It's not. Yeah. It don't just roll off the tongue either. It's not like a factor in wrestling that's going to make me go, wow, this is really good stuff. But Underground, I see potential in. You don't like it because it's not MMA. And I get that. But it's different. And we've been saying, hey, let's not get the same old crappy gravy on the toast. It's gravy on toast. Like, let's do something different. They did something different.
Yep.
We're getting some, and it's something that's being commended about. It's like to sit back and watch. We're seeing big guys, and we see, you know, I thought the thing with Shayna Baszler should have been more of a real fight. Like, just have her beat the hell out of those girls.
That's the issue you run into. But that's the issue you run into when you have real fighters, when you have real shooters like Shayna going in there. And having these moments, like if you're going to put them in that setting, I'm with you, Mark. You need to go all out. You need to make it vicious. You need to make it real violent, hyper violent, and you need to sell that to me. And listen, you're right. There is that little bit of that background, obviously, with my history with mixed martial arts. Little tease for Mimosa Minute. Big title fight coming up at the end of the show that we're going to talk about a little bit in the UFC. I acknowledge that I am probably not the target audience that the WWE is going after with Underground. So I'm probably not the best person to decide whether it's good. It's just my personal opinion, right? Art subjective, not firing with me as a 36-year-old man who also has an interest in mixed martial arts. Now, before we head off to break, Mark, and we're going to come back with Roman Rizel, former Green Beret, and now taking a foray into amateur wrestling. And what a wild story this guy has. You guys got to stick around to hear from Roman. Before we do that, I do have to make a note. Coming up on Raw on this Monday, Mark, it was announced on SmackDown last night, the Heartbreak Kid, HBK, going to be showing up to Monday Night Raw to confront one Randy Orton about his attack on Ric Flair. I'm just going to tell Sean right now, Mark, don't do it. Don't do it, Sean. There is nothing good that is going to come from this meeting. What do you think about Heartbreak Kid showing up on Monday, Mark? Yeah, she's doing a pun.
I see Randy's got the legs going. The legs are going in the corner. And Sean is down. And then I see the kick coming. I can see it from here.
Well, thoughts and prayers. I was going to say, thoughts and prayers with Shawn Michaels, about 48 hours removed before he meets his maker.
Man, well, he's already prayed up. He's already prayed up, you know. I just hope that this is not one of those where we see Sean have to go to the hospital. because he said that he's brittle. He said that I'm beat up, and I said the same thing.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.